Well, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful privilege to be here tonight again. I was here sometime last year around this time, and we had a wonderful time. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight to share with you God's heart. I was getting ready and preparing to share with us tonight, but Pastor Fiona messed me up, and so I am going to allow God. And it's the providence of God, no problem. So I'm going to be sharing a little from the Word of God. But I want to let you know that God is doing a mighty thing over where we come from. And it's in Guyana and Monrepo. Pastor Doug was there. Him and Brother Les was there sometime this year. July it was, I think. He ministered at the church. And both of them did minister. And then Pastor Doug ministered at the National Men's Convention, and he did a fabulous job challenging the men of God to be all that we can be, and how to avoid temptation, and how to rally through and to make it to the end. And we celebrate his anointing. We celebrate what God is doing in his life. And I said it then, and I've said it again, and I say it here tonight. Pastor Doug is one of the men in the ministry that I have tremendous respect for. When you're in his presence, you are definitely in the presence of God. And you always feel the anointing of God. If it's not a song, it's a sermon, or it's something pertaining to the kingdom. And you don't often see that in a lot of places. And so I celebrate that. I have awesome respect for him, and I thank God for the work he's doing. My prayer has been last year and now that God would bring up the kind of people that is going to be with him, that is going to support him. David was a mighty man of God. He was a mighty king. And I believe one of the reasons that he became who he was with God and in the kingdom that he ruled was because he had mighty men with him. The Bible talks about 30 mighty men that he had with him all the time. And then a particular instance where he had three of them come over to his rescue when he was by the cave of Adullam, and he says, "I wish somebody would get me some water to drink." And these three men fought through all the dangers that were there then. About 10 to 12 miles they had to walk over to the gates of Bethlehem to get him water. And when they brought it back, the Bible says he poured it out before God as an offering to him. And there is nobody who going to ever be able to do anything mighty. They're not going to rise to any level of leadership unless they have men and women who are going to risk their lives and risk their jobs and risk their comfort so that the desires of the king could be met. And so I want to encourage you tonight that you continue to work the works of God while it is day. For the night cometh, of course, when no man can be able to work. And I've seen more people than I saw last time, and it means that it's a growing church, and it's continued to grow, and we celebrate that. Be encouraged. Amen. Be encouraged. God is on your side, and this is a tedious battle we're fighting today, where men, Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light. And so the job is always there. We're doing a great work back home. I have a TV program that Pastor Doug has been on since he was there. And Brother Les sat in the studio and saw what was actually happening. And then we have a church that we have a lot of people coming in. We shuttle them in on Sunday mornings. We have about 150 to 200 people on Sunday mornings. And the Lord is working tremendously. When Pastor Doug is coming the next time, make sure you talk to him about coming, because you're going to be blessed and refreshed. It's always a refreshing experience when you leave the shores of this country and go out in the mission field and see what God is doing in people's life and how people worship God in spite of their circumstances. And so I want to encourage you tonight to keep on keeping on. Can somebody say amen? All right, since Pastor Fiona messed me up, I'm going to share on some things that God has really placed on my heart. You know, I was I extracted some things from the internet because I wanted to share some quotes from it. And then she came to me and says, "Oh, you're not preaching your own sermon tonight. You're preaching." So I says, "Okay, I'm not going to take that. I am not going to take that at all. So we're going to share what God has laid on my heart. Is it okay?" Praise God. Well, most of you would know that I would have known Sister Fiona from since she was a very little girl. So I can play with her even from where I stand. A lot of people has that opportunity and privilege. So don't get between us. Amen. Hallelujah. Just before I came, I am also involved governmentally, and the president of Guyana has asked us to try to help in a prevailing situation that not only plagues Guyana but is worldwide, and that is domestic violence. And so he has asked a core of men in the ministry to try and see how we can be able to combat, or try and see how we can be able to help to stem or to educate the people as it pertains to domestic violence and anger and a number of things. And so we have been doing that with the help of God. And I have found in all my studies then, and I've found in all our deliberations then, that this malady affects the church as well. And a lot of people might not be quick to admit it, but there's a lot of underhand business. There's a lot of stuff that happens behind the closed doors of our homes that people don't normally see. And so we're in church and we're dandy doodle and we're doing fine and we're meeting everybody and everything is going very, very well. But when we get back to our homes, it's a different story. And so I just was just inflamed by the desire to let people know what this is all about. And before I do it, I want us to pray tonight that God will help this word to get inside of you and cause you to be transformed and to help you. Maybe it wouldn't necessarily be your situation, but you might be able to minister grace to somebody who is affected by this sickness that is plaguing our society. So, Heavenly Father, tonight we bow in your presence. We're so grateful that you tabernacle with us. We're so grateful, oh God, that you have raised up a young man and his wife and this church, God, and you are beckoning them to come higher, and you are empowering them to do all that you want them to do. You have been such a great source to them. And God, everything that they have and everything that they are, they owe it to you. So tonight we pray that you will bless the people that they pastor. And God, as I share these words, that it would be, oh God, like a flame that would be ignited and it would run through and help somebody who is in some trouble. So tonight we ask for your special anointing upon this word. Bless it, O God, and to the hearers we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Not long ago, I visited in Virginia, and I sat there in the company of two men. One of them is as old as my father, and the other one is also of age. But as I sat there, Pastor Doug, I sat in their company on a table, and they were talking about life and talking about their upbringing. And I listened to them very intently because what they were saying made so much sense. Their father was a preacher. And one of them is very sick. And so he said he was writing a book. And after his father's death, his mom gave him his father's journals and everything particularly that his father owned in terms of his literature and everything else. So he was running through his father's notes and journals and everything else, and he began to see some things that he did not understand when he was much younger. And he began to talk about the two-facedness, for lack of a better word, the duplicity of the personality of his father. And his father, mind you, was a preacher. He preached the word, and he was an awesome minister, awesome man of God. In the eyes of people, he was well respected. In the eyes of people, he was a great minister, great servant of God. He said, but when our dad came home, he was totally different. He would beat them so terrible. He would whoop them so nasty and the memories of those days lingered with them, and it caused what is known as bitterness. And so he became a prisoner of bitterness. He harbored the hurts of his childhood, and he grew with it, and it became a cancer to his system, and so it affected him so much. And I sat there after listening to them for a good half an hour, and I asked to speak for a while, and I said to him, I said, "Brother, you have become a prisoner of bitterness, and the reason why you are the way you are is because you are a prisoner of bitterness." And I shared with him some things I want to share with us tonight, because bitterness is a real problem in the church, in the home, in the society in which we live. And if this doesn't affect you directly, please let it serve as a stepping stone so you can be able to head in somebody else's direction and help them. The story is told of a trucker who stopped by one of these rest areas, and he was having a bite to eat, and he bought his pizza, and he's sitting on the table there with his little plate, and up comes these three biker guys. You know, over here you have, I'm a biker back home, but I don't have the burly size these guys have. They're big and burly and bad, and so they came into this little restaurant where he was, and the first one took his cigarette, and he outed in the man's pie. And the second one came, and he spit in his plate. And the third one came and knocked his soda over. And so the man, after maybe sizing them up, you know, he just quietly walked out of the restaurant. And the three guys said to the waitress who was nearby, they said to her, "He's not quite a man, you know. He is back home. He's soft, you know. He's not quite a man. I mean, come on, he didn't put up a resistance." And then she waited for a while, and then she answered him, and she says, "He's not quite a trucker either." And he says, "Well, what are you talking about?" She said to them, "Well, he just ran over three motorcycles on the outside." And that's what bitterness does. Bitterness doesn't always lash out. It bears it on the inside, and it carries it for a while, and it begins to grow, and it begins to boil, and it begins to bubble. And before you know it, boom, you see a big outbreak, and you wonder, "Wow, what's happening? I mean, come on, why so sudden?" But bitterness is cancerous to us. Bitterness is a monster that turns back on its creator, and it will destroy anything. The other person in our lives that we've got to be so careful. Every time, if you're bitter, every time you hear the person's name, something happens. You're doing good. You're in a party. You're having fellowship. You're doing nice. Everything is dandy-doodle. Everything is great. And as soon as that person enters the room, you froze. From the time they came into the room, your whole mood changes. You're having fun, and everybody's talking nice, and you're chatting very nicely. And from the time you hear that person's name, something happens inside of you, and it changes you. Can somebody say amen? Something happens when you are bitter, when you hear their name. It's like you're reliving the whole scene again. It's like it's happening right now. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I've been in situations like that where so many times, you try to run away, but you can't. Every time, it affects the way you eat. It affects the way you sleep. It affects everything. Bitterness is a dangerous thing for us to have. Don't let anybody fool you. Bitterness is not your friend. It may be, some people think, well, it's a way out of, it's a way of life. It's how we handle things, you know. I can't talk back because they're going to hurt me. I can't do anything. So the most I can do is to hold it inside of me and just keep it there. And you know, bitterness will destroy us. It will destroy us. Listen to what I'm saying tonight. If you spit in my face, you have sinned. If you spit in my face, you have sinned. If I turn away in bitterness, I have sinned. Did you hear me? If you hurt me, then you have sinned. But if I turn away in bitterness, I have sinned. And so this matter is a serious matter in the eyes of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, insult for insult, but with blessing. Because of this, you were called to inherit a blessing. Tonight, the scripture that I'm talking about is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Do not let the root of bitterness springing up in you cause many to be defiled and many are corrupt. Do not let, this is what Paul was saying if he wrote the book of Hebrews. There is some contention about that. But the writer of the book of Hebrews said, don't ever let bitterness have the better part of you, because if it does, it will corrupt you. It will defile you. You're going to be messed up, upside down. I'll share with you some things tonight that you know or you may not know, but I wish that it would be able to help you. There are six things that bitterness does to our lives. Six things. And you may take some notes if you have to. But number one, bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Back home, that's a big word. So we would say it will mash you up. And if it's a little more rugged situation, we say it will mess you up. But that's what bitterness does. Spiritually, it will destroy you. Spiritually, it will mess you up. You cannot be able to go on. You wonder a lot of times why there are so many spiritual dwarfs in the church, why somebody is not growing, why they're not moving forward, why they're there. According to Hebrews chapter 6, it says they are, when they should be fed, they want to still be fed. When they should teach, they want to be taught. It's because they have been pulverized by their bitterness. Bitterness will destroy you spiritually. I want you to listen to me tonight. How do you know that? Because bitterness, brothers and sisters, necessitates, bitterness demands that we walk in the flesh. Bitterness demands that we walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. Listen to me, you know this already, but let me remind you, every one of us seated here tonight, every one of us, every Christian that I know, they have a choice to make every day. Every day they have to choose. Should I walk in the spirit or should I walk in the flesh? We are bombarded with this every day from the time we get up, even from the time we open our eyes, even in our beds. We have to decide if we're going to walk in the spirit or if we're going to walk in the flesh. I want to remind you, you cannot control what happens in your life, but you can control how you respond to it. Better said, you cannot stop the bird from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from making a nest in your ear. Are you still there? I can stop them both because I don't have any ear. But we don't dictate the circumstances that happens to us, but we certainly are responsible for how we respond. And we can either respond in the spirit or we can respond in the flesh. I want to make a bold statement here, Pastor. I need your permission. Listen, if you have unresolved bitterness in your life, you are not right with God. I want to say that again. If you have unresolved bitterness in your heart, you are not right with God. How do you know that? Because you're not walking in the spirit, you're walking in the flesh. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, this is how you know somebody is a child of God, because they're walking. They that are children of God, they're walking in the spirit. Don't ever be caught away with so many hooping and hollering. If you are bitter, you are not right with God. Because bitterness demands that we walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. Now let me show you what I mean. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And you're going to find in Galatians chapter 5 the fruit of the spirit. Is that right? But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace. Huh? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are you there? That's the fruit of the spirit. Now, if you're a child of God, you're walking in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, these are the fruit that is going to be evident. Now, hear me. When you're bitter with John and you're bitter with Sally, you don't want to give them love. You restrict. You withhold the love. Is anybody hearing me? You withhold. I'm not going there. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to go around there because you are restricting your love from them. So therefore, you're not walking in the Spirit. You are walking in the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When you hear Sally's name, there is no more peace. There is turbulence. Oh. When you hear David's name and you have bitterness with him, there is no more joy. You become sorrowful. You become unrested. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you cannot walk in the Spirit. It affects you. When you are bitter, it will destroy you spiritually. You cannot talk to God the way He wants you to, and you cannot hear from God the way you should. You can't be able to flow in the Spirit. You can't be able to walk in the anointing. You can't be able to be anything because you have been harboring bitterness in your life. Can anybody hear me tonight? When you're bitter, you don't feel like displaying love. Oh, let's go over there and help them. Oh, no. You don't know what they did to me. Why don't we give them? Oh, no. You can go ahead. Mm-mm. I am not going. Is anybody there? But the whole church is going. Oh, you guys could go, but I am not going. Why? Because you are walking in the flesh. Why? Because you're bitter. I found out in my little schooling, I found out that bitter and better, they're pretty much alike. The only difference with bitter and better, it's an I. When you take the I out of bitter and you replace it with E, which means everybody, you got better. Is anybody still breathing? And that has been our problem. Bitterness comes from a desire to be selfish. I am thinking about me. I am concerned about me. I am sympathetic about me. You don't know what I've been through. You guys don't know because you've never been there. You don't know what I'm talking about. And so you become bitter because you've been self-indulgent. Can somebody hear me? We cannot. We should not allow bitterness to destroy us. Here's what the Bible says in the next chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For when we sow to the flesh," the Bible says, "we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Can somebody say amen? Can I talk to you one more time? If you're walking in the Spirit, you better don't pray to die now. If you're walking in bitterness, you better pray not to die now, or let Jesus don't come now until you get over it. Because if you die suddenly and you're walking in bitterness, all your days of church would be worth nothing. Because you've been sowing to the flesh. Are you understand what I'm saying? Pray that you don't die now. Or pray that Jesus don't come now. Lord, don't come now, please. Until I get rid of this burden, until I get rid of this bitterness, I have to walk in the Spirit. I got a little problem here, God. Your grace would help me. I need to get rid of this bitterness because if you come now, I am not going to be with you forever. So bitterness will destroy you spiritually. A lot of churches are not growing. A lot of churches are disintegrating and they're breaking up. Because bitterness exists in the church. Can somebody say amen? Bitterness demands that you walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. It stops your spiritual growth. If you want the church to grow, you want the Spirit of God to have His free reign and free course, you've got to be in unity. If you want the church to stop growing, and I don't like to say this in a lot of churches because there are people in the church who don't want the church to grow, so I'm giving them a little bit here. So I'm going to take a chance tonight and say, if you want to see the church stop growing, just harbor bitterness against somebody. And boom, the train stops right there. And it will not move again unless we get rid of the burden of bitterness. Listen to me, saints. God has a great work for us to do. And the devil has been constantly using the weapon of bitterness. I am not going to be on that team because she is there. I'm not going to work here because he is there. I'm not coming to church Sunday morning because they're coming. I am not going to be there Wednesday night because they're there. Are you still hearing me? It's real. And we cannot allow the devil to come between us and destroy us with bitterness. It would not only destroy us spiritually, it will also destroy you physically. When a person is bitter, and from your own experience and mine, when I am bitter, I don't eat. When I'm bitter, I don't sleep. When I'm bitter, I want to get even. Is anybody hearing me? When I'm bitter, I get up in the middle of the night with beads of perspiration on my face, and I'm planning how I can get even. Come on, I'm sorry, I thought I was somewhere else. You guys are really holy here. But when I'm bitter, I am miserable. Is anybody there? I want to know how I can get vengeance. I want to know how I can. Huh? That's what it does. And when I stop eating on time and when I stop sleeping, I become sick because the body demands that I eat at a certain time and I get a certain amount of rest. And so the result of bitterness is that it destroys me physically. And that's on the physical realm. Emotionally, it's a different story. It will destroy you physically. It will destroy you physically. A lot of people are sick because of bitterness. It runs constantly like a machine. It's not an occurrence, it's a lifestyle. You're just out of one into another one. Here's what it said. Medical doctors say bitterness will affect your body, your physical health. Bitterness has been medically linked to glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and even insanity. Ulcers come when you miss your meal. Ulcers come at a certain time your body produces gastric juices to take care of the food that you're going to eat, and when they're released in your bloodstream and there is no food for them to work on, it works on the lining of your stomach. That's why we get ulcerated stomach. Insanity. One leading psychiatrist says 90% of the people in the mental asylum will go home tomorrow if they would learn to forgive and to receive forgiveness. I deal with a number of folks. I don't know if Pastor Doug remember. Oh, he wasn't there a Sunday morning. Every Sunday, we have a number of drug addicts come to our church. 10, 15, 20 of them. Because they're in a facility to where the church is. And I say to them constantly at church, and I do ministry where they're at. And I say to them, listen to me. If you don't get rid of the bitterness in your life, you will never be able to walk free of this addiction. Bitterness causes you to become sick. A man died because he became sick. His father had quite an amount of money, and his father died and left a will. His sister contested the will, and they went to court, and she won. Ever since she won, every day he grew to hate her more. Every day he grew to hate her more. And after a while, he started having problems with his body. His liver gave him problem. His heart gave him problem. And after a while, he died as a result of these bitterness that he's been harboring. And when he died, they couldn't even properly diagnose how he died. And somebody says, well, he committed spiritual suicide when he hung on to bitterness. Bitterness will destroy you physically. Another story is told of this man of God's wife. She was sick, and she went to the doctor, and he was dealing with her, and he could not find what the problem was. And then he began to talk to her and try to get her to cry, and she would not cry. For a number of days he began ministering, and she would not cry, because crying sometimes open the vault so that we can be able to share and we can be able to receive healing. And she would not. Then one of the days he would talk, and then she began to cry suddenly. And she cried for a while, and then he asked her what happened. And she began to relate some instances of bitterness that she had bred from the time of her childhood because of what her parents had done to her. He led her through the steps, and he got her to forgive them, and up to when of late she's been working with her husband in the ministry. Why? Because she's free, she's healed. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. A lot of people have not been able to receive the healing of God in their lives because they've been harboring bitterness. And Pastor Duck can preach, and he can lay hands, and he can call fire from heaven, and you would not get healed because you have bitterness in your system. You got to get rid of it. Maybe your mom or dad, or maybe you lost your inheritance. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you lost your kids. Maybe some accident. Maybe some doctor. Somebody, you know. And so you're holding this thing. Listen, take my advice tonight. It's better for you to just get rid of it. Let it go. Back where I come from, he said, drop the matter. Drop the matter. Because when you drop the matter, God will be able to work in you and through you and for you. Bitterness will destroy you physically. It will discourage you emotionally. When a person is bitter, emotionally, they're what you would call an emotional wreck. They're always suspicious. They go through what we call, they adapt to what we call a victim's mentality. Somebody is out to get me. They're out to get me. Pastor, you don't know these folks. They're out to get me. They see people talking, and two, three people talking, and they suspect, oh, they're talking about me. Especially when you head into the kitchen area and they stop talking. Woo! They're out to get me here. I can't stay here any longer. These people don't like me. They've stopped going to the football game because there's a certain time in the football game where the players huddle together. You know, and when they huddle together in the middle of that field, here they're saying, oh, they're talking about me again. Victim's mentality. Everybody is out to get you because you're bitter. Can somebody say amen? You become negative. You become critical. You become paranoid. Everything is a problem. Everything. If the carpet is cream, it's a problem. If it comes green, it's a problem. If they shovel the snow, if they don't shovel it, it's another problem. Everything becomes a problem because you're negative and critical. You always think people is talking about you. You come to church late and everybody turns around and look. Something's happened. I'm telling you, something just happened. Woo. I was in church not long ago, right up in New York here, and I was walking into a certain area in the church, and these two ladies were talking, and they stopped talking. I wasn't bitter, so I didn't suspect a thing. And so they said to me, Pastor, we weren't talking about you. I says, I know. But some people, man, that would create such a stir. In your home, the family is talking, and you're thinking, oh, wow, again, they're at it again. What should I do here? And so it destroys you emotionally. You become an emotional wreck. Everybody is out to get you. Everybody wants to see you down and out. Everybody wants to, you know, nobody likes me anymore because you're bitter. In Hebrews 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, lift up the hands of those that hang down and the feeble knees. Lift them up, because bitterness will destroy you. It will affect you. It will discourage you emotionally. You cannot be able, you can't move on. You're never happy. You're never excited. You're dreary. You're dull. I mean, come on. Nobody wants to be around you after a while. And then you blame it on them. Nobody likes me. Well, you don't like yourself. Somebody say amen. You become a prisoner of bitterness. Not only will it discourage you, it will divide the fellowship. I'm telling you the truth. Nothing divides the fellowship like bitterness. And if we allow that to scamper on, we're going to have problems. Listen, collisions will happen anytime, even in the fellowship. Nobody is perfect here. So you might come in one day and somebody may say something or look at you in a certain way or pass you or don't greet you. Or people are imperfect. I don't know of any church that has perfect people. I pastor a church with imperfect people. And I say to them constantly, you have an imperfect pastor. I'm not going to do everything. There are times when I'm not going to see you. There are times when I'll see you. You know what I'm saying? We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to hurt one another. So this is what I say to them. You got to learn to get over it. You got to learn to get over it. Everywhere you go, somebody is going to offend you. Jesus said it. Luke 17, verse 1, it is impossible for you to live on earth and not being offended. Somebody is going to mess with your head. Somebody is going to mess with your mood. You might be happy, jolly. You might just get your tax returns and you got some money coming and everything is going. And then, boom, somebody messes with you and everything goes. You're going to be offended. So when you come to the fellowship, don't let bitterness divide you. Understand that we're dealing with imperfect people, people who've got situations in their own homes. I said to my church, I said, take the time to understand what people are going through. If you will take the time to put your feet in their shoe, that's what we say in the Caribbean. Put your foot in my shoe for a second and see how it feels. If we will just understand people, what they had to go through before they get to church, what they're going through on a weekly basis. Sometimes you see them Sunday morning and they try to smile and they try to be good, but whole week they've been tortured by their mates and their family. All you got to do is try to understand them. Can anybody hear me? But when you become bitter, it divides the fellowship. It divides the fellowship when people are here, there, and everywhere. You got to learn to get over it. Can somebody say amen? We sometimes need to just grow up. I've been offended. Look, your pastor is a young pastor. He's been through stuff, but we got to learn to get over it. He said to me today, I don't know much he understood how that impacted me. He says, we have made a decision some years ago that we are going to love the people who don't like us. And so the choice is with you. People are not going to like you everywhere you go. But you have the responsibility to react in a manner that is going to walk in the Spirit. Everywhere you go, they're going to find something to talk about you. The devil has his people out there. Can somebody say amen? It will destroy, it will divide the fellowship. Let me hurry on here. It will not only divide the fellowship, it will defile your relationship. Listen, bitterness has what is called a roll-off effect. You don't have to be bitter with your wife to have a problem in the home. You can be bitter with the pastor and it will roll off in your relationship with your spouse. Did you hear me? You don't have to have a problem with the family for you to be miserable at work. Bitterness has what is called a roll-off effect, a spill-off effect. And so a lot of relationships have been hurting because of this spill-off effect. And a lot of people think sometimes it's my spouse that I have a problem. No, it's deeper than that. You're at work and everything is going well. Or you're at work and you got problems at work and you come home and your wife has done her best. She cooked, she cleaned, she dressed nice, and she's ready. She's excited her husband is coming home. And you get home there, you're bringing home the baggage from the work. You're bitter because somebody did not close the door properly. Somebody did not shut the computer off. Somebody did not do something they're supposed to do. And you're home, and you're walking with the bitterness. And you hit the door, and here is a woman in smiles and ready. And all your room in the house is just conducive for good things to happen. And you walk in there, and you're bitter, and you mash everything up. And she's looking at you. What have I done now? Where did I go wrong? But it's called a spill-off effect. The church has been trying. We try to accommodate you. We send someone to get you. We're trying our best. We're taking you back. We're encouraging you. We're accommodating you. We're doing everything possible.
But because you're bitter from the other church you came from, nothing seems to be working. Can somebody say amen? It's called a spill-off effect. And you cannot allow it. You cannot allow it. It's going to... Listen, I tell people, if you're bitter, you come to my church, you may feel good for a while. You're new, so... We always run to new people and we try to accommodate them. I don't know if you do that here. We try to love them, but there comes a time when you got to grow up. Somebody newer is coming, so we got to attend to them. And you feel, well, I'm not getting the kind of love I need because you came with bitterness in the first place. And so you're stuck here. Nobody likes me anymore. But we expect you to grow up. I feel I'm talking to somebody. I didn't mean to hurt you. But it has what is called a spill-off effect. It will defile your relationship. You've been over here and the person looks just like you and they sung just like you and they sing just like you, and so you come over here and there is somebody just like them, and so you measure this person's personality on the basis of this other person. Anybody hear me? That's not fair to me. I am not him. I may look like him, I may sing like him, I may talk like him, but I am not him. Give me the opportunity to prove myself, to show you that I am not him. Are you hearing me? None of us like the spill-off effect. We need a fair opportunity. We need to know that we've tried. Are you hearing me? Bitterness has a spill-off effect, and it will defile your relationship. Nobody wants to be judged unfairly. Nobody. Don't judge me on my past. Don't, oh, come on, I don't want to go there. But women, and you know men, not family relationship, you came from another battered relationship or you came from a broken relationship. And so here is a lovely woman, but you're measuring her on this woman that you had. Oh, come on, somebody. And she says to you, don't measure me like her. And you're in another relationship, or you know, and you came and here is this man, and you're judging him because of what this other man did. That's not fair. But that's what bitterness does. That's what it does. It will defile your relationship. And lastly, it will deprive you of a blessing. It will deprive you of a blessing. You'll bring that negative, critical spirit to church with you. You won't be looking for a blessing. You'll be looking for what's wrong. And you'll find it. It's 8 o'clock and you ain't finished yet. You're looking for what's wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I expect them to really worship this morning. Oh, but she didn't sing good. You're looking for what's wrong. I expected him to be clad in his suit and tie. I don't know what's up with him this morning. You're looking for what's wrong. And you rob yourself of a blessing. You become negative. You become introverted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nothing. I don't care how much fun we have in the church. You're absolutely miserable because you're bitter. You become negative. With all the reasons listed, I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to lose up. I don't want to lose on my eternal benefits. I've come too far to turn back. I've been sending up treasures in heaven for a while now. 30 years I've been doing it. I've been sending it. I've been working with God. I've been sending things up. I am not going to allow bitterness to rob me of an eternity with God. I am too healthy to let bitterness invade my body and cause me to be wreaked in pain. I am reasonably sane. I can think right. I can do right. I am not going to let bitterness invade me and cause me to be discouraged emotionally. I am never going to become a victim of circumstances. I've got a great church, a great fellowship. I love the people of God. And I'm not going to let bitterness come in and defy that fellowship. Are you hearing me? I love my family. I love my friends. And I'm not going to let bitterness defile that relationship. I invest in relationships, and every one of us should and must invest in relationships, and you should not allow bitterness to defile that. And of course, I need another blessing. I don't care who preaches. I don't care who sings. I'm glad I'm invited to the party. I was visiting in Tortolo for a pastor's conference, and it's a different environment. It's different. Sometimes, you know, people do stuff, you know. And I was there, and they were singing and praising God, and da-da-da-da-da. Everything was fine. And I sat there miserable. I don't know why they were singing. Why are you singing and dancing and doing all of that? And why? And the Spirit of God said to me, now mind you, just before I got there, we were driving to the airport, myself and another pastor and our families. And we narrowly missed death. Narrowly missed death. Narrowly. I mean, when that happened, I froze. Nobody could get blood in my body. I mean, I thought we were dead. So we got to Tortola, and they're singing and praising God. And I'm sitting there, and I'm singing, oh, that's too much. You know the thing. And then the Spirit of God said to me, he said, you should be lucky you're invited to the party. This is not your party. This is my party. Are you there? Bitterness will cause you to be negative, cause you to lose on a blessing. I need the blessings of my people. My assistant pastor, he says, I don't care who preaches. Even if it's a frog that preaches, I want to hear the word of God. I'm coming for a blessing. Are you still hearing me? Paul said to Timothy, he says, don't let them despise your youth. Don't let them think you're nothing because you're young. Don't let bitterness deprive you. Don't let it deprive you of a blessing. This woman came to the psychologist having problems with her husband. She says, I want a divorce, and I also want to hurt him. I want a divorce, and I want to hurt him for all the things he's done. So he said to her, he says, listen, go home. He said, for the next 3 months, I want you to start telling him. He said, I want you to go out of your way to be affectionate. Go out of your way. Tell him you love him. Tell him how much you missed him. Tell him you're praying for him. Leave a little love notes on his bed. You know what I mean? Do all the things. Tell him that, you appreciate what he's doing. Well, 6 months passed, and she came back, and she says, Doc, I did what you told me to do. No, and she said to her, when you would have done all of that, you tell him you love him, leave those love notes and everything, and he says, boom, when he thinks you love him, then tell him I'm having a divorce now. That will hurt him, because you would have pretended you love him, you would have fooled him into thinking that you love him, and then when you've done all of that and he comes on to you, just give him the message, well, I'm divorcing you. And she went, 6 months, she came back to him, she says, well, Doc, I did what you told me to do. I did exactly what you told me to do. And the doctor says, fine. He says, well, this is the time. Get the divorce. She says, Doc, I don't want a divorce anymore. I love my wife. I love my husband more than ever before in my life. I'm talking about bitterness. And when there is bitterness, you always see the negatives. But if you will just turn those negatives and you begin to compliment and you begin to love and you begin to show appreciation and you begin to show the love notes. And Fiona was telling me just the other day, she says, how nice it is for somebody to meet with you and said, Pastor, you're a blessing to us. Since we're here, you have blessed us. We are so tremendously blessed. Nothing makes you want to do more when people appreciate that. But every time you come to church, somebody meets and tells you, well, you know, I think you preached too long this morning, you know. And I think you made a lot of grammatical mistakes. Let me show you. Is and who's and was and is. Nobody likes that. So she said, go ahead and tell your husband every nice thing when you're ready. She says, no, it's different. I love him more than any other time in our lives. That's what happens when you remove bitterness. That's what happens. What did Paul advocate? What Paul said to them, I want you to get rid of it. Root it out. Don't clip off the limbs. Well, we have a tendency to clip the limbs off, you know. Well, I don't like this sister, so I'm going to avoid her, you know. Because, you know, we really can't get along in the same room, so I'm not going to go in the room and she's there, you know. Okay, you stay, I'm going. So this is not clipping off the limbs. Paul says, I want you to dig it out by the roots. I want you to get rid of it. Why? Because if you don't dig it out from the root, it will grow back again. It will spring up again. And what I know is that every time it springs up right there, the limb gets harder. Is anybody breathing? Two monks, they were living in a monastery, and they made a pact, they made a deal that we're never going to touch a woman. No handshake, no pat on the back, no hugs, nothing at all. Traditions of the monks where you couldn't do that. And so both of them, they went for a walk, and they came to a river. And when they came to the river, they saw a beautiful woman all dressed in her wedding dress. And she's sitting by the bank of the river, and she's crying. And so they go to her and said, "What's wrong? Why are you crying?" She says, "Well, I'm getting married today. The bridge is flooded, and the church is on the other side. And I don't want my wedding dress to get wet." So the two of them are looking at each other, because they have made a tradition that they're not supposed to touch a woman. And so the first one said, "You know, I think God wants us to help her." So he grabs her and he takes her across the bridge. And when he puts her over there, she's so excited, she hugs him and she kisses him. And so the second one says, "How dare you? How dare you break the traditions of the monks? You shouldn't do that." And so he says, "Well, I think God wanted us to help her." So they went their ways the next day. He's still upset. So he says to her, "How dare you break the traditions of the monastery? You shouldn't touch a woman." But he says, "I feel God wanted us to help her." And so the next day they meet again, and he's still upset. So he says, "Listen, with due respect to you, man, with due respect to you, I took that woman over the bridge and I set her down." He says, "You're the one that is still carrying her. You're the one that is still carrying her." And how many times has God forgiven us and God helped us, and we're still carrying some burdens that God had removed so long ago? Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe it happened years ago. Maybe the person is dead. Here's the funny thing about all this bitterness thing. I may be bitter with Pastor Doug, and I am boiling up on the inside, and I'm upset, and I'm, and he is living. He is thriving. He is happy. He is prospering. And every time I see him, I'm miserable. Huh? Maybe you're here tonight, and God has given you freedom. The other person is living, but you're carrying the burden. The other person may have put down that burden from the time they crossed the bridge, but it's you that's carrying it to your own detriment. I don't know much about you here tonight. Honestly, I don't. I know Andrew for a while. I know Fiona. I know Tasha. I know Doug a little. But I don't know anybody here. But maybe you're carrying bitterness, and it's affecting you. You don't talk to your cousin. You don't talk to your husband's family. You don't talk to your wife's family. You don't talk to your sons-in-law. You don't talk to your grandchildren. You're just bitter. Hello, I want to help you tonight. The Spirit of God wants to help you. God's got something he wants to give to you, but he can't, because you're hanging on to bitterness. You shut the door. Why don't you open it tonight? Why don't you say to God, "I don't understand what's happening, but I can't continue to live like this. I need freedom. I need to receive from you. I need to hear from you again. I need to walk in peace. I need to be happy, Lord." That's what sowing to the Spirit means. "I don't understand why you're asking me to do this, but I'm doing it because you say so." You may be hurt terribly. Domestic, verbal, physical, sexual. I'm not minimizing your pain in any way, but I'm trying to help you. It already happened. Hello. It's already happened. Just let it go. Let it go and receive your healing tonight. Maybe you're sick in your body, and you've not been receiving your healing. Mighty men and women of God have prayed for you, but you've not been receiving your healing. Could it be that you're having bitterness inside? Maybe you've not been blessed physically, spiritually. You've not been receiving anything. Isn't it a good time for us to give it up? say to God, I'm doing this because you say so. I'm giving up. I'm submitting to you, Lord. You know better. You know what's best. Holding on to it hasn't changed me. It has made it worse. But tonight, I'm giving it up. I'm giving it up. I'm giving it up. I'm leaving up to you, Lord. I know you can touch me. I know you can restore. I know you can build back bridges. I know you can do it. This is in your power. You can do it, Lord. Bring us together, Lord God. Help me to walk free. Help me to walk in peace. Help me to walk, oh God, in unity. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Let's stand tonight, won't you please? Thank you. I've got to ask you, have you been a prisoner of bitterness? Have you been inhibited from doing all that you can? Have you had to settle for second best because you had bitterness inside? Why don't we give it up? Just say to God, here is it, Lord, here's my bowl of bitterness. Listen to this. When the children of Israel came out of the wilderness, they went into the promised land, right? And the Bible says they came to a certain place where they wanted to get some water. There was water there. But when they go to drink the water, it was bitter. And so God said to Moses, I want you to take a tree and I want you to throw it in the water. And when the tree touches the water, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So the water was made potable. The water was made drinkable because a tree touched the bitter water. Here's what God did for us. He took that same tree on which his son died. He died on a tree. The Bible says he crucified on a tree. And he took that same tree and he touched the pond of your bitterness. He touched the lake of your bitter waters. And he made it sweet. And tonight we've got a lot to rejoice for. Let Jesus handle your suffering. Let him handle your bitterness tonight. If you walk out of this church still carrying your bitterness, you have no one to blame but yourself. Amen. Let God heal you tonight. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. Let him heal you in the fellowship. Let him heal your relationship. And let him turn everywhere you go into a blessing. With every head bowed and every eye closed, it's between you and God now. Why don't you retrace your steps and ask the Holy Ghost of God to show you where you have harbored bitterness, where you have caused bitterness to rob you. And as the Holy Ghost of God begins to reveal this to you, say to him, I give it up. I've made up my mind. I have chosen to love instead. I've chosen to forgive. Yes. Holy Ghost, we bless you tonight. I know we're running out of time, but I just feel we need to pray for a couple of people tonight. If you're here and you've been hurting, oh, well, I don't want to come out because everybody will know that I got stuff. No. Ask God to help you tonight. Wherever you are, leave it to him. Pour it out and say, here I am. I'm rooting out this. I'm not going to give the devil a foothold in my life. Holy Ghost. Pastor Doug, you go ahead and take over. Jesus of Nazareth. It's mine.
If there was ever anything.
Jesus.
Spirit. This was a divine appointment. So if you just want prayer, just come on up right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. Hallelujah. Just come on up. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. God is here. He wants to touch you. He wants to love on you. He wants to set you free. Oh, hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. Just begin to pray right now. Oh, we just bless you, Lord. Korabaka sandalabaka satia nala mama. Oh, ramama mama mama satia nala mama baraka sotoroboka satala mama mama. Irabaka satala mama mama mama. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just want you to pray for the people. Hallelujah. Just anoint them and pray for them. Lord, as the Lord leads. Deep in love.